Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. We want to welcome you once again to another program of Truth to Live By, the radio and television ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We will continue today where we left off last week. We have been, we've gotten into a series we've entitled The Pursuit of Christ, and we said at the beginning of the series that we were going to be looking, in essence, at eight principles, not to suggest that this is the exhaustive list of principles, but these are eight very important principles that help us in our pursuit of Christ. It helps us in our walk with Him. We've already covered two of the principles. We've talked about the principle of exaltation. We said that true disciples exalt Christ. We talked about the principle of love, and we said that true disciples love Christ. And 2 weeks ago, we started looking at the principle of following Christ, and we said that true disciples follow Christ. Now, 2 weeks ago, we started looking at the first major point I wanted to make within the principle of following Christ, and that was that following Christ requires a personal decision. Last week, we talked about the second point I wanted to make within following Christ, and that was that following Christ requires an ongoing choice. It's not something we decide to do in the past and never choose to do it again. It's a daily, moment-by-moment thing. Today, we're going to look at the third point and the final point within the principle of following Christ, and that is that in following Christ, we must decide or make a decision that must supersede all other decisions. Let me start by saying this. There is absolutely nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing. There is nothing more important than the decision to follow Jesus. If we keep from deciding to follow Him, then we know in the offset that there is something that we're allowing to come into our life that supersedes the decision of following Jesus. There is absolutely no decision that should be allowed to supersede, nothing out there that should be allowed to supersede the decision to follow Jesus. Now, we're going to spend some time looking at Luke chapter 9 today. And in Luke chapter 9, we're going to find a clear illustration of the kind of wannabe disciples that either rejected Jesus or Jesus had exposed them as being nothing more than wannabes. These were not true disciples. They wanted to be disciples, but they wanted to be disciples on their own terms. They weren't interested in how Jesus had defined follow me. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at least starting at verses 57 and 58. And in Luke chapter 9, the first verse I want to read is verse 57. And it says on there, as they walked along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now listen clearly to the statement that this wannabe disciple makes. This disciple comes up to Jesus and tells Jesus that he will go anywhere Jesus goes. He will follow Jesus wherever Jesus goes. Now listen to what the response Jesus had to the statement that this wannabe disciple made. He said in verse 58, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I mean, what does this mean? What is Jesus trying to say with that response? Why did Jesus tell this wannabe disciple that? He told him that because he wanted this wannabe disciple to forsake everything in the world in order to follow him, and he wanted this wannabe disciple to realize that there is a real cost involved with following Christ. Believe me, we live in a world, we live in a society where without a doubt, every single day, you as a Christian, as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus, you are going to be challenged and reminded of the cost of following Jesus. But what we need to make sure we understand at the offset is that following Christ is worth anything the world will throw at us, because Christ is God, and there's nothing more important than a personal relationship with Jesus, because only through Him do we find salvation, and only through Him do we find satisfaction and purpose and meaning and fulfillment. Jesus is worth following in spite of what the world may throw at us, and how the world may remind us of the high cost of following Jesus. Jesus already knew, because He is God, Jesus already knew that this disciple was a half-hearted disciple. This disciple came to Christ with conditions. And the condition that this disciple was implying in his statement was that he was willing to follow Jesus, even though he wasn't willing to necessarily pay the cost of following Christ. And Christ responded by showing him that he was a half-hearted wannabe disciple. Listen, this is in essence what Jesus was telling this wannabe disciple through his response. He was saying, are you willing to forsake everything the world considers important to follow me, even though I myself don't have a place to call my own home? And we know from the text that this disciple, after realizing the cost of following Jesus, would decide not to. Now, we must never forget, listen, let's make some application here, because what we tend to do is we tend to look at these wannabe disciples or read this text and think it's somebody else that has this problem and never consider this being a problem of our own. Listen, the truth of the matter is that oftentimes we as Christians are guilty of giving Christ just half of our heart. We must never forget that our lives and our hearts are an open book. It is in plain view to Jesus. And although we may pretend, and although we may give the world the impression that we are fully hearted and are following Christ, Christ knows better. We must never reach the point where we deceive ourselves into thinking that we are real and true disciples. It takes a daily commitment, a daily choice, a moment-by-moment choice to follow Jesus. Now listen, I want to illustrate that point by looking at Matthew chapter 7. This is a well-known text, but I want to illustrate the point of what it is that happens for those who come to Christ with a half-hearted commitment, and although they seem to pledge allegiance to the Lamb, they actually don't, because they have come with conditions, and Jesus therefore has nothing to do with these people. And listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know what the will of the Father who is in heaven is for your life? That you count the cost of following Jesus, and that in spite of the cost, you realize the benefits of following Jesus, and that you make a deliberate decision to do so in spite of the cost. God is not interested in a lukewarm Christian. In fact, in most cases, and I believe this text teaches us that, in most cases, those who are lukewarm are not Christians in the first place. Listen further on, he says this in this text. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Listen, these are people who think they're Christians, and they've given Jesus only half of their heart, thinking that that is enough to establish a relationship with Christ. And Christ is saying, listen, that's not the way it works. Either I am your Lord or I am not. You can deceive yourself into believing I am your Lord, and you can do lots of works in my name, but at the end of the day, when you come before me, this is what I'm going to say. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. Listen, there's a double, you know, and I'll touch on this a little bit later, but there's a double implication in these passages. There's an application for those who are not believers, and there's an application for those who are believers. For non-believers, it's simply saying that, listen, you don't come to Christ with conditions. You come to Christ, and you meet the requirements that He has set, and you live by the definition that He has established for terms like follow me, and that is it. He never gave us the right to come to Him with conditions. So we may think we've come to Him, we may think we've established a relationship when we never really have. And the other application is for believers. You may be a real believer, and I don't question your faith and I don't question your salvation. But listen, at the end of the day, are you giving Christ everything and is He Lord of your life, or are you giving Christ only a part of you? If you are, listen, you are not really successfully following Jesus. You're missing out on loads of blessing, and you will never really experience the faith as it, we were intended to experience through a close and personal walk with Him. So the first individual He talks to is the one we label the ignorant disciple, ignorant about what it took to follow Jesus and about the cost of following Him. The second individual in the text in Luke 9 is the one we will label the procrastinating disciple. If you look at the first part of verse 59, this is what it says. He said to another man, follow me. Follow me. Again, we're going back to what makes Christianity Christianity. It's the person of Jesus Christ. And He's asking this man to follow Him personally, follow Him as a person, as God, as the God-man. This is the command not only given to him, but given to us. And look at the response that this wannabe disciple gave Jesus when Jesus gave him the command to follow me. He said, but the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Now, Jesus responds to that by saying this, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, doesn't it seem somewhat insensitive for Jesus to say that after this man had simply requested to be able to go and bury his father and then come back and full-heartedly follow Jesus? Well, no, it's not insensitive, because Jesus knew something that's not necessarily specifically mentioned in this text. Jesus knew that this man's father had not yet died. And we know that because if this man's father had already died, this man wouldn't be standing there talking to Jesus. The Jews buried their dead within 24 hours of their death. This man was there talking to Jesus, well knowing that his father was alive. And Jesus knew this. Why? Because Jesus is God. And in essence, what this man was saying is, listen, I want to be able to go back, and when my father dies, and that could be months or years, when my father dies, I want to make sure I get my inheritance. And once I've received my inheritance, then I will come back, Jesus, and follow you. The procrastinating wannabe disciple. Listen, the point is this. Receiving his share of the inheritance was the most important thing for this wannabe disciple. It was more important than following Jesus. Now, let's not pretend, you and me, let's not pretend that materialism doesn't play a factor in how we live our lives for Christ and on how we follow Christ. We often, as Christians, get caught up in the material philosophy of this world, and we become overly concerned with what people have and how we compare to those people. Listen, if you're going to follow Jesus, first of all, if you're going to come to Christ for salvation, you must come to Christ now and allow those who are not saved to take care of those who physically die. Because following Jesus is something that when you decide to do, you do now. Now, the third disciple mentioned here is the undecided disciple. Look at verse 61. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Now, you may say, what's wrong with that request? What is wrong with that request? And listen to Jesus' reply. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What does this mean? You know what Jesus is saying right here? Both to unbelievers and believers who are seeking to pursue Christ and follow Jesus. This is what he is in essence saying. A farmer cannot possibly plow a straight furrow while looking back over his shoulder. If we remain undecided, we are not fit to serve in God's kingdom. Listen, this is what Jesus is saying. Once you put your hand to the plow of discipleship, there is no looking back. And the problem with this individual was that he was putting, listen, and this may be a sensitive issue for some people, but he was putting family above Christ. Is that wrong? If it comes between you and Jesus, it is. Let me tell you something. You will never experience better family relations than when you walk with Jesus. Don't be concerned and don't get offended when we seem to imply that you need to put Jesus. In fact, I'm not implying. I'm telling you, Jesus must come first. You will never have the family relations you wish to have if you're not putting Jesus first. Everything falls into place when Jesus is the center of your world. So listen, during this exchange, or let me make this point before I even go there. There's three things that are common with these three wannabe disciples. You know what it is? Every single one of them considered something other than Jesus more important than Jesus. For one of them, it was about comfort and security, that which the world offers. He didn't count the cost. He didn't realize that following Jesus was going to mean giving up the comforts and security the world offered and the comfort and security he already had, since Jesus didn't even have a place to call home. Another one put materialism, possessions, money above Jesus. He wanted to go back and get his inheritance before he would follow Jesus. Listen, I'm not knocking material prosperity, because God does prosper some for a specific purpose, not so they can become unfaithful stewards of God's property. But it's not about money, folks. It's about your spiritual walk with Jesus. And the other one had placed family above Jesus. And Jesus was clearly saying, listen, none of you can be my disciples, because one of you is undecided, one of you is procrastinating, and one of you is too ignorant. For the Christian, we can't really follow Jesus successfully if we allow any of those things, the comforts and security the world offers, family or material possessions, to come between us. We become ineffective. Listen, that is the strategy of Satan. He wants to slowly bring in a philosophy into your worldview that causes you to be sidetracked. Focus on Jesus, because that is what it's all about. Now, before we finish this lesson, I want to make sure we understand what a right disciple looks like, what a real, a true disciple looks like. Well, it's completely the opposite of everything he said about these wannabes. First of all, listen. First of all, a true disciple is one who gives God total dedication. A true disciple is one who does not come to Christ half-heartedly. A true disciple is one who makes a decision every day of his life to give everything of himself, all of himself, to Jesus, knowing that Jesus is worthy to be Lord of our lives. That's what a true disciple looks like. Secondly, a true disciple is one who accepts, listen, the cross along with the crown. One who accepts mercy along with justice. We must remain objective as we follow Jesus and understand that we have no special privilege or have the right to dictate to God what it is that we ought to look like as Christians or live like as Christians. Thirdly, a true disciple is one who counts the cost. and is yet willing to abandon everything to follow Jesus. Fourthly, a true disciple is one who doesn't allow anything at all, anything to detract from his service to God and his kingdom. I go back to the passage where Paul stated that everything that he had valued in life he now considered rubbish for the sake of knowing Christ and gaining Christ. How serious are you about following Jesus? Does Jesus own only half of your heart? You're a lukewarm Christian, and Jesus doesn't like lukewarmness. Do you procrastinate in responding to God as God reveals His will to you? Do you remain undecided as to what you're going to do when God clearly reveals to you what His plan is for your life? Listen, it's a decision you make in the past. It's an ongoing decision, and it is a decision that must supersede all other decisions. You don't have the right to define, follow me, He does. Father, we thank You for this time. We give You all the praise and glory. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Jesus, for the cross, for Your grace and mercy. We give You all the honor and glory, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, founder and president of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, and your Bible teacher here on Truth to Live By, thanking you once again for your faithfulness and your commitment to meeting with us each week for 30 minutes to study God's Word and to continue the study of this particular series we're currently on, entitled The Pursuit of Christ. It is indeed our prayer that God is blessing you through these programs. God is using this ministry to minister to you in a very special way. That is why we come across the airwaves each week, so that God can be glorified and so that you can be ministered and blessed in a very, very special way. If you don't have pen and paper, please, I'm going to give you a few minutes here to get pen and paper so that I can provide you with our contact information. A couple of things before we close the program altogether. For those of you who have been listening to this program or who listened to this particular program and who have not yet entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my question is simple. What are you waiting for? This is the opportunity, the time that Jesus has provided for you to repent of your sins, to ask Him for forgiveness of those sins, and to ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. If that is your prayer, and if you mean it from the bottom of your heart, if it's genuine and if it is sincere, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that God has heard that prayer. He has forgiven you of your sins. He has cleansed you. He has come into your heart. You are now born again. You are now a new creation. You are now an adopted child into the family of God. If you have prayed that prayer, we want you to contact us so that we can send you some resources to help you get started in your Christian walk. We also pray that God is using this program in the life of Christians, that we may be able to edify and equip believers for service so that they can further the cause of Christ and continue to be a faithful witness to the Lord. We want to also ask you to invite your friends and family to join us each week for 30 minutes as we faithfully look forward to studying God's Word and being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. If you want to receive copies of any of these programs, you need to do so in writing. you need to let us know the date on which you heard this program, the call letters of the station on which you heard this program. It needs to be in writing, and we're asking for a suggested donation of $5 to certainly help us with the cost of production, materials, shipping, and handling. Again, this series will be available in its entirety in the near future. More information to come. There are many other resources we offer. I am going to point you to our website because we won't have enough time to mention them all right now, but information about other resources are available online. I do want to remind you that a 160-page book, which I recently wrote entitled An Introduction to the Essential Doctrines of Christianity, is available free for anybody who is wishing to help us financially with a gift of $25. If you cannot help us in that way, please go to the website. There will be information there as to how you can get a copy of this book. A reminder, this is a listener-supported ministry. We need your prayers, and we need your financial assistance. We remain on this radio station because of your prayers and because of your financial partnership. Without either one of those two, we would not be able to do what we do in the name of Christ for all of you who benefit from listening to this program. So we need your prayers and financial contribution. Anything that you are able to assist us with, we are very grateful for, and certainly please know that you will be partnering in the work of God, and that God will indeed recompense you, and so will you hear the thanks of the many people who are ministered to by this ministry because of your contributions. Let me give you our contact information. If you're writing to us for the first time, or if you just want to write to us, or if you are asking for any resources, address your mail to either Truth to Live By or Reasons for Faith International Ministries, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Again, visit our website for resources and information about who we are and what we're all about. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. Once again, thank you so much for joining us each week. May God richly bless you, and we will once again see you a week from today.